Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again we come to pray, to listen to you, to talk with you, and we ask for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. This daily encounter with you, where we sit at your feet like Mary, or perhaps Lazarus in that home in Bethany. You come at the end of the day, you ask us to tell you how our day has been, what is on our mind, and that is what we do when we pray. And today we pray about this task of our own spiritual formation, because you need us with a solid understanding of our faith and living of our faith, because there are so many people around us who need us, who need you, who need love, who need truth, who need the meaning of life, who need hope and faith. And you want to reach all of them, but you want to do that through each one of us. And so we need to know our faith, and we need to live it well. You say to the apostles in the Last Supper, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide." You can say that to each one of us. You chose me. And we think, no, I chose you. I chose to be a Catholic. I chose to practice my faith. But no, you came before our decision. You were the one that chose us and gave us the grace to correspond to that choice. And you chose us that we should go and bear fruit, fruit that will abide. What is that fruit that abides? The fruit in the first place of our own holiness, of our own love for you, a life full of holiness, of love, of fruits. And secondly, the fruitfulness of helping others to come to know you and love you and be with you forever in heaven. Because fruit that truly abides is eternal life. It abides forever. And how many souls are lost forever? Lord, you need us to come close to you, to grow in our faith so that we can help those very many around us who don't know you, who don't have the faith, the hope, and the love that we have. We need to be able to give an account of the hope that is in us. As St. Peter writes in one of his letters, words often quoted by St. John Paul II. Can I give an account of the hope that is in me? Can I explain to someone else why I pray, why I go to Mass, why Catholics believe that abortion is wrong, that marriage is forever, and all of those other questions that they might ask me? Can I give an account? There are so many people around us who need you, who are looking for you, because everyone is looking for God, whether they know it or not. And we can say that with absolute certainty, because everybody wants to be happy. And we find happiness when we find some good, whether it be a good meal, a good book, a good film, a good holiday, an extension on our house, a new baby. All of these bring us happiness. But it's a happiness that is not supreme. It is not unlimited. It is not the complete fulfillment of the human person, and it is happiness that passes. But there is one form of happiness that is complete and forever, and that is finding you, the infinite good. Finite goods cannot truly satisfy us. Only you, the infinite good, can. And everybody wants to be happy, and therefore they're looking for you. And St. Augustine said it, Lord, you made us for you, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. But how are people going to find that happiness? How are they going to find you if there is not someone like ourselves to help them? And for that, we need formation. So many are looking for you. So many are lost. But we have found you, or you have found us. And you need us to go out and bear fruit, fruit that will abide in the lives of others. St. John Paul II, in his apostolic exhortation, Christi Fidelis Laici, on the vocation and mission of the lay faithful in the Church and in the world, speaks about the importance of formation of the lay faithful. He writes in number 57 of that document, people are approached in liberty by God, who calls everyone to grow, develop, and bear fruit. A person cannot put off a response nor cast off personal responsibility in this matter. The solemn words of Jesus refer to this exalted and serious responsibility. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. This responsibility to help others find God. The Pope goes on, in this dialogue between God, who offers his gifts, and the person who is called to exercise responsibility, there comes the possibility, indeed, the necessity of a total and ongoing formation of the lay faithful, as the Synod Fathers have rightly emphasized in much of their work. After having described Christian formation as a continual process in the individual of maturation in faith and a likening to Christ according to the will of the Father, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, they have clearly affirmed that the formation of the lay faithful must be placed among the priorities of a diocese. It ought to be so placed within the plan of pastoral action that the efforts of the whole community, clergy, lay faithful, and religious, converge on this goal. He points out the importance of formation. And of course, no one can give what he doesn't have. The more knowledge we have of you, the more knowledge we have of the teachings of the Church, the more we love you, the more we live out our faith, the more we will be in a position to help others. If we don't know our faith, if we're not living it to the full, we can't help others, and so we need that formation. And so much depends on it. In the first place, our own spiritual life. If we are well formed and we know why we go to Mass, why we pray, why we go to confession, what is the importance of Eucharistic adoration and devotion to Mary and so on, if we know these things, we can live them. If we don't know them, we won't be inclined to live them. And the more we live them, the more we find you, the more we are filled with you, and the more we are firmly on the way to heaven. Our own spiritual life, our own fulfillment, our own happiness here, our own happiness hereafter, depends on our own formation. But then the formation of so many others depends on us. If we are well formed, if we can speak to them, if we can give an account of the hope that is in us, we can help so many others to find you, to find happiness, to find heaven. So much depends on each one of us. And Saint José María, in his book, The Way, in the chapter on formation, writes, "Among those around you, apostolic soul, you are the stone fallen into the lake. With your word and your example, you produce a first circle, and it another, and another, and another, wider each time. Now do you understand the greatness of your mission? We speak with a few people. They in turn pass that on to others, and it spreads like those ripples that go out from the stone that falls into the lake. And how far that stone reaches in those progressively bigger circles of people who come to know the faith through us and to live it through us, and in turn pass it on to others. So much depends on how we live our faith." And Saint José María wrote that too in a later chapter in The Way. "Many great things depend, don't forget it, on whether you and I live our lives as God wants. It's not just our own life. Many souls depend on how we live, and therefore we need to be well formed. And we know that even practicing our faith, living out our faith in present-day society is not easy. We need formation, we need that solidity of our spiritual life to protect our own faith, but we can't stop there. We must help so many others who are struggling and often not succeeding in continuing to practice their faith." And in another chapter in The Way, the one on formation, Saint José María writes, "There's no denying the influence of environment, you've told me. And I have to answer, quite. That is why you have to be formed in such a way that you can carry your own environment about with you in a natural manner, and so give your own tone to the society in which you live. And then, if you have acquired this spirit, I am sure you will tell me with the amazement of the disciples as they contemplated the first fruits of the miracles being worked by their hands in Christ's name, there's no denying our influence on the environment." And this is what we must think. Yes, the environment is hostile to our faith. But we are not here simply to protect our own faith in that hostile environment. We are here to help others find you and to change the environment. We can do that. You are the one that does it. The Holy Spirit is the great protagonist in this work of evangelization. We are not alone. With you, we can do all things. Those first apostles went out into a very hostile pagan society. They were persecuted first by the Jews, then by the Romans. They changed society. They transformed the world. The Roman Emperor Constantine would give Christianity official status, legal status, in the Edict of Milan in 313. And some 70 years later, the Roman Senate would declare Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire. That was the effect of those apostles going out with the formation, Lord, that you gave them. And St. Mark, in a very short sentence, refers to that formation. In the 9th chapter of his Gospel, he writes, "They went on from there and passed through Galilee, and he would not have anyone know it, for he was teaching his disciples." At the same time, Lord, that you were preaching to the multitudes and working all those miracles, you wanted to be alone with the apostles in order to teach them. You needed to teach them about you and who you were, about the church that you were forming on them as the pillars, about the sacraments, about life after death, about heaven and hell and purgatory, about prayer. All of those truths of the faith they needed to know so that you could later send them out. And when you sent them out on that great mission, just before you ascended into heaven, you said, "Go out to all nations, teaching them to observe all that I have taught you." And Lord, you had taught them for those 3 years. Now they were to go out and teach others and to baptize. You needed to form them first. You need to form us first so that we too can go out on that great mission and transform the environment. St. John Paul II, speaking to over 300 people who were attending courses of formation given by Opus Dei in Rome in one summer, said to those people, "My dear brothers, you are university students, skilled workers, and members of Opus Dei, which strives to live the gospel fully in a constructive service to the church and to contemporary society, even in environments far from the faith. Receive these lessons that come today from God's word. You too live with a spirit of humility, the Christian truth that you fortunately know. You want to be and must be witnesses of God's love among men, and the present world essentially needs convinced and coherent witnesses. Let your first commitment and your primary concern be interior formation through methodical meditation, spiritual direction, profound and passionate love for the Eucharist, the ascetic use of the sacrament of penance, which you already practice perseveringly and preach, and by devotion to Our Lady. At the same time, feel that you are always at the service of your brethren, who walk with us along the dusty and wearisome path of life. How much there is to love today. How great a need for love is felt in all classes of people. You have a marvelous task to accomplish. You can love, help, lift up, comfort, and enlighten with the divine grace which always accompanies you." And Lord, we can take those words as applied to each one of us. We have received formation. There is so much to do now to help others, to share that formation, that knowledge, that love that we have with them. We need to change the world. We need to change individuals, first by changing ourselves. And in that apostolic exhortation, Christi Fidelis Laici, Pope John Paul II elaborates on the aspects that that formation should have. In paragraph 60 of that document, he begins, "There is no doubt that spiritual formation ought to occupy a privileged place in a person's life. Everyone is called to grow continually in intimate union with Jesus Christ, in conformity to the Father's will, in devotion to others, in charity and justice. The Council writes, "This life of intimate union with Christ in the Church is nourished by spiritual helps available to all the faithful, especially by active participation in the liturgy. Lay people should make use of these helps in such a way that while properly fulfilling their secular duties in the ordinary conditions of life, they do not dissociate union with Christ from that life, but through the very performance of their tasks according to God's will, they actually grow in it." Spiritual formation. And as St. John Paul points out, we can find that especially through active participation in the liturgy. By attending Mass, we pray. By attending Mass, we grow in love for the Mass. By receiving you in Holy Communion, we grow in love for you, where you live in us and we live in you. And then the readings of Mass give us spiritual formation, and the homily helps us to live out what we have just heard in those readings. And when we attend Eucharistic adoration, we grow in love for the Eucharist. We grow spiritually. When we go to confession, we grow in humility, in sincerity, in love for you, who forgive us our sins and fill us with your grace. Through active participation in the liturgy, through our parish life, we can grow very much spiritually. And there are other ways too, through spiritual reading. There are so many good books throughout the history of the Church that have nourished the piety, the spiritual life of people. And as they say, spiritual reading has made many saints. Am I currently reading some spiritual book, perhaps 15 minutes a day? And reading, of course, the New Testament, some minutes of that every day. And then spiritual direction, that we can go to some priest or layperson, open our heart, tell them what's going on in our life, and they can help us to grow spiritually. We need that help. Confession itself provides an opportunity for spiritual direction. And in all of these ways, we grow more in love for you, more in our spiritual life. And then the Pope goes on to a second aspect of that formation, doctrinal formation. He says, "The situation today points to an ever-increasing urgency for a doctrinal formation of the lay faithful, not simply in a better understanding which is natural to faith's dynamism, but also in enabling them to give a reason for their hope in view of the world and its grave and complex problems. Therefore, a systematic approach to catechesis, geared to age and the diverse situations of life, is an absolute necessity, as is a more decided Christian promotion of culture, in response to the perennial, yet always new questions that concern individuals and society today. We need to know Christian doctrine. And where do we find that? We find it in catechisms, especially today, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, that marvelous compendium of the principal teachings of the Church given to us by St. John Paul II in 1992 and then revised some years later. The compendium of the catechism, that shorter question and answer catechism. So many other books that explain our faith. We can have access to a greater doctrinal formation. It is ready to hand. It is up to us to go and find it. And it can be very helpful to read a little bit of the catechism every day. Perhaps that could be our spiritual reading, although the catechism is more doctrinal formation than strictly spiritual formation. But Lord, help us to realize the importance of knowing our faith, knowing those answers to questions that people ask us about abortion, about euthanasia, about divorce and remarriage, about in vitro fertilization, about whatever, so that we can give an account of the hope that is in us. And then John Paul II goes on to a third aspect of formation, human formation. He says, the cultivation of human values finds a place in the context of a totally integrated formation, bearing a particular significance for the missionary and apostolic activities of the lay faithful. In this regard, the Council wrote, the lay faithful should also hold in high esteem professional skill, family and civic spirit, and the virtues related to social behavior, namely honesty, a spirit of justice, sincerity, courtesy, moral courage. Without them, there is no true Christian life. And how clear it is that if we have professional skill, competence in whatever we are doing, people will respect us. People will listen to us. They will come to us with their problems. If, on the other hand, they regard us as lazy, sloppy, they don't look up to us, we have no hope of helping them come closer to God. And then all of those virtues that make us that well-rounded person, that make us more attractive, that help us to get along better with others so that they will come to us when they have their problems. And we need those virtues that the Pope mentions of honesty, justice, sincerity, courtesy, moral courage. One might add cheerfulness, concern for others, humility. With all of these virtues, we are more attractive to others and we can help them better. We come to the end of our prayer and we say, Lord, thank you for giving me the formation I have received, but help me not to be satisfied with what I have, but rather to have that desire to grow constantly in my living out of the faith through my spiritual life, through my understanding of the faith, through reading of doctrinal books, especially the Catechism and so many others. Help me to grow in these human virtues so that I, like you, can be an attractive person that others are drawn towards, that when they have a problem, they will come to me. And then I, like those 12 apostles that you formed so well, can go out into my environment and help others to find you and help to change the environment itself. And Mary, our mother, you who were formed as a good Jewess in the synagogue, by your parents, Joachim and Anne, by your going to Jerusalem to the temple for the great feasts, help me to realize the importance of formation and to make the effort to do all I can to acquire it so that I in turn can help many others, that I can go out and bear fruit, fruit which will abide. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my Guardian Angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.